Welcome to the Beer of the Day podcast. We don't have a full episode tonight. We are enjoying the holidays with our families. However, we do have a mini episode for you. I am joined on Skype by Jeff Miller in Pasadena and Andy Hamilton in Sacramento. And we have a couple beers to tell you about that we had recently, and then some clips from previous shows that we can share with you. How's it going, guys?
It's going great.
Doing well.
How was your Christmas?
It's great.
It's good for me. I went down to San Diego, had some good beer, which you would expect to do when you go to San Diego for Christmas.
What'd you have?
Lots of good ones, but the one I was going to mention is actually an LA beer that I took down to San Diego with me. And we've talked about this beer briefly on the show before when it first kind of was announced, and none of us had had it yet. So I took it down there to try, and it's the Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA. And that's the beer that he helped make along with El Segundo Brewing Company. And I really enjoy the beer. It's one of these IPAs that's kind of light in color, but citrusy. It has a good freshness, I think, from the Mosaic hops, which I really enjoy. And prior to drinking this, I listened to his podcast. And so he has a podcast. I think it's mostly about wrestling. But in one particular podcast, he talks about, you know, what got him interested in craft beer. He spent 30 some years drinking mainstream beer. And, you know, he talks about how it's a process where you don't just change overnight, but he slowly got into craft beer, really likes IPAs. And it was always kind of one of his dreams to help, you know, like, make his own beer. And he finally did it. And I think it was a winner. It was a really solid beer from El Segundo. So, you know, it's kind of hard to find, but if you can find it, I'd highly recommend it.
Great. Today is Andy's birthday. Happy birthday, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can you share what beers you've had on your birthday?
I've had two beers from Sierra Nevada. I had a torpedo in a pint can while I was playing golf today, and then I had a pint of pale ale at the bar after the round.
Nice. So Sierra Nevada heavy today.
Yeah. That's all they had. That's all they got that's any good.
Hey, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Well, I was at OTP on last Tuesday, and they had recently had a Ballast Point tap takeover. And the interesting variety that they had was Victory at Sea Imperial Porter. And they had five different kinds on tap. They had the regular 2015. They had one that was coconut flavored, one that was peppermint flavored, one that was peanut butter flavored. And then they had the one from 2014, the year before. And so I tried several different of these, and they were all very similar, very dark, dark brown in color, very little head, a dark roasted malt flavor with a little bit of smokiness and kind of a burnt molasses taste. And it's very bitter, pretty dark in character, kind of rough. You know, it's definitely a robust beer. And I tried the different flavored ones, and it was interesting. The peanut butter one was, the peanut butter was so subtle. I thought that maybe the peanut butter would add a little sweetness to this otherwise very dark, bitter beer.
Yeah.
And the peanut butter was so subtle that it was just barely noticeable. So they kept it very light. It wasn't overly peanut butter. It was just a hint of peanut butter. And so then I switched over to the coconut thinking it was, might be even more sweet. And it was a little bit sweeter, but really the coconut was more evident on the smell. And you just got just a little hint of it in the taste. And so these different varieties are very much in keeping with the same Victory at Sea with just a little bit of a different touch on the flavoring. The one that I liked the best was the 2014. It had smoothed out a lot in it being aged for a year. Much more drinkable. Like the 2015 is a little rough around the edges. The 2014 was pretty smooth. So I think aging it is probably the way to go.
What did you think about the peppermint one?
I just had a little taste of it. The peppermint actually had a little bit more, it was more noticeable. I think peppermint is just kind of more of a dominant flavor, dominating flavor. And so it kind of gave it a little of that holiday cheer that we're seeing in a lot of these winter beers that have come out recently.
So maybe this is a dumb question, but the 2014 version, I mean, I assume that was made a year ago, right? Where's it been sitting? Is it sitting in a, I mean, where is this aging that you have this on tap?
Well, it was, the keg was provided to them by Ballast Point or whatever the distributor is. So I think they released it this year after being aged an extra year.
At the brewery, they probably just put it in a keg recently, but it was aged an extra year at the brewery.
That's my guess, yes.
Makes sense.
So that one was definitely my favorite of the five. All right, so later in the show, we have a clip from the podcast we recorded for the holidays 1 year ago. And we will play about a half hour segment of it where we try a couple different beers, and then we have a try a lot of the different Christmas beers that were released at that time. So we'll get to that. On the website, I wanted to mention or give a shout out to Dan in San Diego. He added a beer, and we haven't had too many people add beers of the day yet, but he added James and Julie from Allagash. It's a brown sour. And he took a picture, he wrote a description, he put the beer up. And so, Dan, that beer will be the beer of the day at some point here in the near future. When a beer is beer of the day, it gets emailed out to all the beer of the day subscribers, sent out by text message if they have their phone number on file. It gets posted on Facebook at facebook.com/thebeeroftheday, on Twitter at beer of the day, and on Instagram. So the beer of the day is seen by a lot of people, and it's a good way for you to share beers from your local area so that everyone else around the country can kind of get a feel for what kind of beer that you're featuring. So definitely, if you're interested, post up a beer, and it can be the beer of the day.
I was just going to say, I'm pretty impressed with that from Dan, considering that as a Maine beer, complete opposite end of the country. Dan from San Diego is posting an Allagash beer. So very nice.
Right. Yeah. All right. So it's the end of the year. We are recording this on the 28th of December, Monday night. It'll be coming out on Tuesday, the 29th. And being the end of the year and the new year, I wanted to go back and review some of the top beers that were featured on the Beer of the Day website this year. Now, we relaunched the website on June 19th, and so it's only really half a year, but it was kind of interesting to see what the top beers of the day were, and I'll run through the list. I have it two different ways. I have the top beers of the day based on the number of visitors as the beer is the beer of the day. So during the day that the beer is the beer of the day, how many people went and saw that beer on the website? Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, so number 10 was Cali Creamin, Vanilla Cream Ale from Mother Earth.
It's a good one.
9 was Sam Adams Rebel IPA.
Really?
8, Stone Stochasticity Project Hi-Fi Lo-Fi Mixtape.
Good one, too.
7 is also Stone, Points Unknown IPA. Number 6 was the St. Archer Blonde Ale. Number 5, the High Water Campfire Stout, which I know a lot of people are fans of. Number 4 was the Icelandic Toasted Porter from Einstock.
Really?
Yeah. That was our number 4 beer of the day, while the beer is beer of the day. Number 3, Rogue PDX Carpet IPA.
Wow, I didn't expect that.
Yeah, that was early on. The Portland Show, I think, was our first episode. And it's not a beer that you can really get anywhere except maybe the Rogue Brewery or the Portland Airport. But there were so many people Googling the PDX Carpet because they were taking the carpet out and it was a controversy. I think maybe that's why. Of course, this was the beer of the day. People that visited while it was beer of the day. Number two, Big Daddy IPA from Speakeasy. Kind of a go-to. And number one, the top beer of the day while it was beer of the day, was Ninkasi Ground Control.
Not a surprise. I like that.
Ground Control was the beer that was brewed from yeast that got shot up in a rocket into outer space and then came back down. And then they put that into the beer. So it was in the news, and it was one of the best beers of the year, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was definitely in my top five.
And definitely one of the most newsworthy beers, for sure.
Okay, so the next list here is the top 10 beers that were the top beers visited on the site that weren't beer of the day. So every day people come to read the beer of the day because they get linked to it from social media or wherever, Twitter. So those are always the most popular beers each day. But then there's the beers that people get linked into from search engines or word of mouth, you know, typing into Google or whatever. So here's those top beers. Number 10 was Brew Free or Die IPA, which I believe was featured on our 4th of July podcast and on the beer of the day on 4th of July. Number 9 was Rebel IPA. So that's a repeat from the first list. Number 8, Pliny the Elder. Number 7, Salted Caramel Brownie Brown Ale, New Belgium, Ben & Jerry's.
I'll say it for you. Gross.
Very popular because of the Ben & Jerry's thing. A lot of news articles about it. Number 6, Campfire Stout. Number 5, Lagunitas Brown Sugar, which was featured on a podcast about a month ago. Number 4, Stone Enjoy By 12/25/15 IPA.
Nice one.
And that one hasn't even been out there that long. You know, maybe a month you put it up there.
And, if that, I mean, I had that this month, so I think I had it 2 weeks before the 25th.
Number 3, Wild Range India Pale Ale. So this is a different one because it's not a beer I've had before. Have you had it, Jeff?
I have not.
I'm assuming it's probably ranked highly on Google or something, and so people are coming in. I don't know why it would rank like that because I don't think we really have it, the beer featured. Number 2, Toaster Pastry, 21st Amendment. Very popular beer because of the Pop-Tart thing. For some reason, it really struck a chord with people. And the number 1 top beer when it was not featured as beer of the day was Sorry Not Sorry IPA.
Good one.
From Stone.
Excellent beer.
Yeah.
That's a good list, Dallas. I'm really looking forward to doing this again a year from now, when we've had a full year, to just to see, you know, what's going on a year from now.
Definitely. Yeah. So yeah, with the half a year in, it's pretty interesting to see what the most popular beers were. All right. I have one more little mini list here. This is the top podcast episodes. This is the 30th episode we are recording right now. And so of the 29 previous episodes, I have calculated the number of listeners within the first 2 weeks. So obviously podcasts that occurred early on are going to have more listeners because they've had longer. So I capped it at 2 weeks. So you have 2 weeks to accumulate listeners. And then that is the cap so that you can kind of compare them against each other. There's a tie for number 5, the Red, White, and Peach show. Red, White, and Peach was the red was the Bobblehead Red IPA from Coronado.
That's right.
The white was the Shuttle Bunny 8th anniversary from
Kern
River Brewing Company. Yeah. And then the peach was the Sorry Not Sorry IPA from Stone, which was a peach IPA. So that one people liked. The California Grab Bag was tied with that. And that was just kind of a random show where we did General Sherman. We did Lizard's Mouth, which was our favorite from that show. Drake's Draconic, and then Old Scallywag from Coronado. The number 4 show was San Diego Part 1. We did two shows that from beer we brought back from our San Diego trip. We did on that particular show the Tony Gwynn Pale Ale 394, the Mike Hess Solus Ocasis, which we were pretty fond of, the Señor Saison from Coronado, a kind of a pepper, chili pepper beer, and then the Will Wheaton, Drew Curtis, Fark Woot Stout from Stone, which was quite good as well. So a lot of good beer on that show. If you haven't heard it before, definitely check it out because it does give you quite a sampling of some different San Diego breweries. Top three. Number three was the Winter Is Here show from a couple of weeks ago. This was the winter beers where we tried all the winter seasonal beers that weren't Christmas beers. Last week we did the Christmas show. It hasn't had 2 weeks to accumulate listeners yet, so it probably hurt from that. The number two show that we've done so far was the Deepa Thoughts Double IPA, and we kind of did as many double IPAs as we could and kind of blind tested them against each other. And that was kind of a fun episode. And
that was a good one.
We referenced that one a lot.
That's one I'd like to do again, either with the same beers or some different ones, but I think we really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was fun. Maybe we do a triple IPA one or something if we can get through it. And then the number one show that we've done so far was, any guesses?
Portlandia.
Oktoberfest.
It was the Great American Colorado Beers.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So this was one where we did several from Oscar Blues. We did a New Belgium, a couple from there. We did the Ellie's Brown. We did the Left Hand Brewing Company.
Yep.
And then we also talked with Dave and Jamie, who were at the Great American Beer Festival at the time. So that was a pretty fun episode, and that was the most listened to episode that we've done so far.
I got a list, not a list, but a little tidbit for you guys if you're interested. You know, I do most of the stuff on Instagram. Any guesses what the number one beer has been? I guess, you know, the beer with the most likes on Instagram. It was on one of the lists, I'll tell you that. Actually, no, I'm sorry, it wasn't on a list.
It wasn't on one of my lists?
But it was on one of the podcasts of the top five podcasts.
Lizard's Mouth.
Señor Saison.
No, but same brewery. The Bobblehead Red was,
oh, nice.
By far the most likes on Instagram all year long.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I was kind of surprised. I mean, we like the beer and picture's good, but I don't know. It just shot up all of a sudden that one day. And it's a new beer that I don't think is that well known.
Yeah, I've only seen it the one time. That's pretty interesting. All right. Well, before we get into the clip from 2014, I wanted to thank everybody who over the Christmas shopping season shopped on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. So many people went to the Beer of the Day site, clicked on the Amazon banner, or went to amazon.beeroftheday.com and did their shopping. We get a little piece of commission on that, and it helps us pay for everything, the website, the beer that we drink, the podcasting equipment, bandwidth, and it is so much help that you guys provide us by just doing your shopping through our site. So thank you very much, and we hope you continue to do your shopping through the Beer of the Day website on Amazon. All right, guys. Well, it's been a good year. And here's to 2016 on the Beer of the Day podcast.
Cheers. Looking forward to it.
Okay, so this clip, we recorded it December 20th, 2014, a year ago. It starts out with the Strange Brew segment that we did at the time, which was a pretty strange one. It was a fruitcake beer from Carl Strauss Brewing Company in San Diego. I had recently been down to LA with Jeff, and we visited three different breweries. We recap our visit to those three breweries, and then we did kind of a fun thing where we had purchased a bunch of different winter and holiday beers. We wrapped them in Christmas wrapping paper so you couldn't see what the beer was. And then we all went around the table and opened or tried it and gave our thoughts on it, tried to guess what it was, and then we opened it up. So that was a pretty fun segment also. So enjoy this past clip from 2014. We will see you in 2016 on the Beer of the Day podcast. Welcome back to the special holiday edition of the Beer of the Day podcast. We have a strange brew that's holiday themed. I didn't think that we'd have one, that I could find one, but sure enough, at the store they had, what's the name of this? Mouette Artois Holiday Fruitcake Ale.
Ugh, sounds like a good time between two guys in France.
Maybe three. this is from Carl Strauss Brewing in San Diego.
Gotta say I like Carl Strauss.
Carl Strauss is good. I don't know what to expect from this. I mean, I expect it to be sweet. I mean, fruit. No one likes fruitcake.
No one.
This might be the darkest beer we've had out of the first three.
It's darker than the first one. I usually get the first pour, so I feel obligated to comment on the color. But it's this reddish, dark amber copper color.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, it's the darkest of all of them so far.
It's not quite brown, but it's getting there.
And it's pretty, like, what's the word I'm looking for? That
transparent?
No, it's not transparent in my opinion.
Opaque.
Opaque. Yeah.
Whoa. Taste it.
Whoa.
There's some spice.
There is some spice up in this.
Smell wise, I take like a kind of a brown sugar smell.
Doesn't quite taste how it smells.
Not at all. I thought it smelled alcoholic.
How does it taste?
There's something I can't put my finger on that I don't like. Fruitcake, maybe.
It's like cranberry of some sort.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Cranberry?
A little bit. I see that for sure.
Whoa. Yeah, it's very.
That's Joel nailed it. And I hate cranberries.
That's way better than I thought it was going to be.
So I like it because it's so interesting.
It tastes like some kind of candy, like a cranberry type of candy or some kind of winter. It's got the spice. You know, there's some candy. I can't think of what it is, but there's a candy that has the same distinct kind of cinnamon sweet flavor.
What's that crap that old people put in their turkey? It's like a cranberry sauce.
The cranberry sauce?
Is that what it's called? Cranberry sauce? Man, that's what this
tastes like.
No, it kind of does.
It has that like caramelized candy thing. Like when you make candy, like someone that doesn't, not a candy maker, makes candy in their own kitchen.
Yeah.
It's like that.
So, you know, I don't really like fruitcake. It's just too much sweet. So this, to me, has a little bit of fruitcake minus the sweet. So you have kind of the fruity notes. It's still a sweet beer, but it's
very
not,
sweet.
It's not like when I think of fruitcake, like I just don't want to eat anymore. I can handle this.
It's not overwhelmingly sweet.
Right.
I agree.
A little bit of sour blackberry in there.
I thought that. And then I just picked up on this the last couple sips.
Yep.
On the finish, it's different for me. There's kind of like a butterscotch finish. Maybe I'm alone in that, but.
No, yeah.
It changes. It's very spicy at first, and then the finish is kind of the sweet. You know, like those Werther's Originals candies, it's kind of that kind of butterscotch taste.
Yeah, I see that. Also, but you're right about that sour blackberry in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Like it comes off on the initial taste, but then it moves into that.
Yeah.
A little bit of the sourness before it finishes off in that sweet butterscotch finish.
So I'll say it again. I like this beer a lot just because of how complex it is. I mean, it's got a ton of flavors in it, and like it goes through a cycle, like Dallas said. There's a bunch of different flavors that it kind of bounces back and forth between. You know, this is a fantastic beer.
I like it too. It's much better. The strange brews I'm always worried about and a little bit hesitant to try, but this one I'm glad I did.
I second that.
Britton? I didn't like it.
I had to choke it down.
So this is another beer where it's better than I thought it was going to be. There's been a number of strange brews like that, and then that first beer we had, Santa's Private Reserve.
I'd say as far as Christmas beers, this is the most Christmas we've had so far.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
It really does have kind of something different, kind of a holiday that spiciness to it.
Fruity vomit.
Yes.
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 Cranberries. I hate cranberries because they're bitter and taste like vomit.
That's the taste of Christmas, Britton.
But this is close to a sour, the sourest thing we've had here. So
yeah,
it's sweet and sour though. I mean, there's a lot of sweetness in there too that is like balanced out through by the sourness. It's unique, for sure.
When people talk about beers being complex, I think this is one of those beers. More so than most beers. It's just they're sweet, they're sour, there's different opinions, different smell, different flavor at first, different finish. I think it qualifies as one of these complex beers.
I agree. Okay, so last weekend Southwest was having a sale and I could book a flight for $49 each way.
This is a commercial.
Southwest.com was having a sale. Now, so I went down and visited Jeff in Pasadena.
How much was it for your bags?
Bags fly free.
What?
Yes.
Oh, man, I feel like I'm free to move around the country.
I was completely free to move around the country. So, hey, Southwest, you know, if you want to...
kick us a few bucks?
Yeah. Some
Or some drink coupons.
Or at least upgrade the beers that you have on your flights.
At least that. Okay, so we went down and I kind of had the goal to try out some LA breweries, and there's some that I've had recently that I wanted to try out. So the first one we hit up, Jeff picked me up at the airport and we headed over to Eagle Rock Brewing Company in Eagle Rock. And it was actually my favorite one of the places we went to. Very small place. I mean, we were driving around, we found it, and it was the parking lot had about spaces for six cars, but it was three cars and then the ability to double park three cars. So that anyone, if you have to leave, you have to say, hey, who has the Black Saturn?
Or not me.
And it's in probably the not nicest part of town. So you could park on the street, but it was a shady area for sure.
Yeah. But the beer wasn't too shady. It was pretty, pretty good. They had, what would you say, eight different ones of their beers, and they had like three guest taps.
Yeah, they had seven or eight beers on tap. You know, this I agree with Dallas. This was my favorite of the LA breweries that we went to. You know, it's a young place. I think it had been open, if I remember correctly, since 2009. I think it's promising, lots of potential. They had... you know, the best beer, I thought, and I think Dallas would second this, but the best beer is they had this thing called Stimulus, which was a coffee-flavored beer, which, you know, it was interesting. If we had, I think we bought a couple of bottles, it could be a strange brew on a future show. You know, but it had this flavor of coffee, but it was a light-colored beer. Like most of these beers that have a coffee flavor, you expect to be this dark, heavy ale. It was not. It looked like a pale ale. And the flavor was incredible.
Very good. We bought a couple of them. It will be on an upcoming show. In fact, lately it's been a trend where coffee beers, mocha porters, you know, there's like, I have just the ones that I bought recently, I have four of them in the fridge right now of coffee beers. So I'm going to do a whole coffee beer show coming up. So you'll be able to try it. We bought a couple of them to try.
This beer tastes like coffee.
This beer tastes like coffee.
But what kind of coffee?
Like Colombian or...
Sumatra.
We should do a coffee tasting first.
Kona.
So we can...
Kona. That'd be good.
But this brewery had several good beers. Not just... I mean, the coffee one was the most interesting and the one we said was the the one we were most happy to try. But they had a couple IPAs that were good.
They had one called Hop-A-Feel.
Yeah. Which was a specialty. It was brewed like for a charity event. It's only 4.8%, but it had a lot of flavor.
Very good flavor.
For one, it's one of those like session IPAs. It was delicious.
Yeah. So then the next place we hit up was Angel City. This is one when Andy and I were down there last time, Jeff was raving about Angel City IPA. We had it and we were like, eh, it's pretty good. But I got to go to the brewery and the place that they have, it's like in this old
warehouse.
Yeah. Maybe? It's kind of a warehouse, like a manufacturing industrial thing where they have, this is the place where they built the cables. They made the cables for the Golden Gate Bridge and the San Francisco cable cars. They made cable in this place. And so you still see a lot of the infrastructure for that, for making that. So it's very like old school industrial, but very cool. They have like an upstairs, downstairs. They had ping pong we played, cornhole.
I thought the crowd was
the typical
great.
Typical stuff that you find at
typical brewery stuff. They had a food truck outside, yep, as you'd imagine.
Is this the one that you took a picture of and you sent to us? And I think you said this is everything that you sent us a picture message and you said this is everything that a brewery should be except for good beer.
Yes.
That's
yes.
probably it.
And that's exactly what my feeling on it.
And, you know,
the place was really good, but the beer was not quite up to par. And we get spoiled, you know. We have a lot of breweries up here that are so good. And when we went to San Diego earlier this year, I mean, we went to 10 different breweries and I think all 10 were better than the beer at this place.
But I think the ambiance and the experience of being at this brewery was one of the best I've been to.
I mean, so it was a good brewery, just did not absolutely have good beer.
Yes. Well, there's plenty of space. Like a lot of these breweries we go to, a lot of them are so new. They're small. They don't have a lot of space. Like this is a big warehouse. There's plenty of space. There's like four or five different bars where you can get beer. You don't wait in line. Just the whole overall ambiance and experience was good. The beer was just not great.
Not great. It was fine. Drinkable. I didn't dislike any of it, but nothing like wowed me.
Maybe the same guys who are doing the cables that made the cables are making the beer.
I think the cable guys did a better job.
Yeah. They wouldn't have made that swill.
Yeah. But it was, I was glad to be there. We had a good time. The other brewery we visited was Golden Road, which is becoming a big, big LA brewery where if you go to Dodger Stadium, apparently they have Budweiser Golden Road, Budweiser Golden Road. They have it, you know, it's has half the taps are Golden Road.
Yes, they sell it to John Wayne Airport. I had a glass there, a pint.
What'd you have?
The IPA, the Something Street IPA.
Hmm.
They got a bunch of IPAs. I mean, living in LA now, I don't have any data to support this, but I would guess that it is the most volume-wise, the biggest LA brewery in terms of, at least in that area, in terms of locally produced, and their distribution is good. You know, the brewery was cool. We had a good time. It was a great place. We went there on a Sunday. We watched football. It was a great meeting place. Like, it's a place where people obviously come together. Like, if we lived close by there, we'd go there and hang out and watch football. It's a good gathering place, but the beer was pretty disappointing.
Yes. Like you get to the point where the guy would come around and say, "Oh, you need another beer? What do you want?" And I look up at that board and I'm like, "I don't know." how about the brown? You know, I was just something that might be different. So yeah, the beer was kind of like Angel City.
It was
good, not great.
I would put Angel City a little bit ahead of Golden Road.
Yeah.
Golden Road just seemed a little pedestrian to me. Like people I talk to are like, "Oh, it's so good." But when somebody tells me that, I don't think they know what they're talking about when it comes to beer. Well, because having been there, it's not very good beer.
Also, the parking situation was bad. You have to be a pedestrian to even get in there.
But a cool place to hang out.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fine for that. Okay, so let's move into the next beer. Actually, we have a special surprise here for the holiday edition of the Beer of the Day podcast. I went out to Beverages and More, and I got one beer of all of the mainstays of Christmas beer. So, you know, every time all these big major breweries come out with a six pack of holiday, Christmas beer, whatever. And so I went ahead and got a six pack of each one, and I took one beer of each, and then I wrapped it in Christmas paper, wrapping paper. And if you're watching the video, you can see it, but if not, I tried to keep it so that the cap of it could be easily removed, but I'm trying to encourage them to not look at the cap when they pull it off. Did anyone see it?
I haven't, no.
This is a completely blind taste.
Okay, this is a blind taste. Looking at the bottles, I kind of know what is what a little bit, but there's...
But for us, not having known what you bought, I mean, you know what you bought. We don't know what you bought, so right. This is pretty much a blind tasting for the rest of us.
Yeah, so the idea here is that we'll give... we'll go around and give kind of a brief description of the beer and your thoughts on it. And then we might pass them around a little bit, let people know what you think, and then we'll see what's underneath the wrapping.
I don't know what mine is, but I like it. It's good.
All right, Jeff, let's start with you.
So mine has the very typical Christmas-style taste, the spice that I think we all expect. Probably a pretty high alcohol content. And looking at the shape of the bottle... I have a pretty good guess of what this is.
Go ahead, guess it.
I think it's Anchor Steam Merry Christmas Ale. Is it still called Merry Christmas Ale?
It's called Christmas Ale.
It used to be called Merry Christmas
Ale. It's called Merry Christmas Happy New Year Ale.
Merry Christmas Happy New Year. It's got that typical piney and you know, spice to it. So that I'm fairly sure I would be, if I was a betting man, I'd be pretty confident to say this is Anchor Steam.
I think you're right. Does anyone else want to try Jeff's beer?
No, just by the shape of the bottle, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Shoot.
All right, Andy, go ahead.
Boy, this is tough. So this is, it's a little sweet. And, you know, I know the typical Christmas beers that you can get this time of year. And so I'm trying to think of which one is it. Because we don't drink, even when they have them, we don't often get them. My guess is that it's from Sam Adams, and I want to say it's Old Fezziwig, but it might be a little not quite sweet enough. That's my guess, is Old Fezziwig.
Okay.
I just sampled it. I don't know what it is. It has a Firestone taste to me, but I don't think Firestone has a beer that would be in this lineup.
No. No Firestone here.
I'm going to give it a little bit of swirl here and see if I can take a guess on it.
Sam Adams?
I think it's a Deschutes beer.
Maybe Jubileo?
Let's open it up and see what it is.
Okay. New Belgium Accumulation.
Way
White off. IPA.
Samsonite.
Wow.
We had the East Coast and the West Coast, but
you know what?
Not the middle.
You know what I'm shocked is that I didn't hate it.
That is a little shocking. All right,
I agree. I liked it. I mean,
I've not had it before.
I'm glad I tried it.
Let me try it a little bit.
Prior to knowing it was New Belgium,
I don't even know. I wrapped these. I don't even know what beer this is. Can you see what you can determine there?
So Andy's beer once again was New Belgium. What?
Accumulation.
And were we right on Jeff's beer?
Correct. Anchor Steam.
What's it? Merry Christmas, Happy New Year Ale.
Yeah.
2014.
Let me try this one.
So we have a huge bottle of this in our fridge. We're going to
be... Magnum.
Oh, that's good. I like the it's like some hoppiness to it. That's pretty good.
It's got a sweetness to it too, though.
It does.
So this was Dallas's beer. Tastes the least like a Christmas ale of the three.
Does it?
To me, it does. It doesn't have the spice. It's very smooth, like a lighter alcohol, like a golden ale.
Let me try that one again.
Let Joel try it. It's accumulation. I like that a
That's
lot.
That's like a Bud Light or something.
That's right.
Yeah, it tastes like, I don't want to say like Coors, but it kind of does.
It has a screw top. I'm thinking it's a Bud Light.
It's a Bud Light, isn't it? That's a Bud Light. No doubt in my mind. There's no doubt.
All right, open it.
Britain would guess it. It's like, so Bud Light. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, now that you guys say it, for sure.
So, people always talk about beers.
It's a Bud Light.
So, Britain and I, we...
I nailed that sucker.
You did.
I said it doesn't taste like a Christmas
We
ale.
Drink Bud Light as like, it's like our rice. We like steak.
Like mother's milk.
Yeah, exactly. Bud Light's like our go-to, sit around the house, just drink Bud Light all night. So. All
right, Joel, what do you got there?
So it's killing me. I have no idea.
How do you like it?
I think out of all the ones I've had here so far, besides that Anchor Steam, this might be the darkest beer that I've had of all the ones that are wrapped. So I'm going to pass over to Jeff and see what he thinks. It's hoppier than I thought it was going to be for a Christmas ale. It definitely tastes dark. I actually don't know the color of it, but I feel like it's dark.
I agree. And I don't recognize this bottle. It's a very unique bottle.
Right. The only thing I can think of is what's the company that makes Red Hook?
Red Hook. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Who makes that? That's
They have a...
Who makes Red Hook, Andy?
Widmer Brothers.
No, Red Hook's the name of the brewer. They have their like Longhammer Lager or whatever.
Yeah, that's what it is.
This is a Winter Lager, I think is what they call it.
You're right. I think you're spot on.
Winter Hook.
Winter Hook. Nice.
We came together. We figured it out. And Andy didn't even try it.
Well, I knew the
bottle.
The bottle. The bottle was a giveaway. Yep. What else we got here?
I don't know.
We'll go with a canned beer.
Hold on. Let's go with mine. So I've rarely had any winter or Christmas ales. The only one I know is Anchor. And so I base every Christmas ale that I have off of that one, where it's very spicy. The one I have is very caramelly and smooth, and I thought it would be dark, but it's not. I poured a little in the glass and it seemed like it was lighter. So I have no idea what it is, but caramel is like the main one, and I actually really like it.
I had one of those beers earlier tonight, but I didn't let anyone see it.
Is it? It's not Cinder Cone, is it?
No.
You know which one I have?
Yes.
How do you know which one I have? Just based on the
process of elimination.
This is a really...
It doesn't taste spice. It doesn't have spice. It's just like caramel.
It's like buttery caramel. It's really good.
Glad I pulled that one.
I'm hoping you have more of those in your fridge.
I do.
That's tasty.
It's really tasty.
That's pretty good beer.
I got six more of those buddies.
I've had it before.
I've not had
six
that.
Six more? Was this a magical seven pack?
I had another six pack before.
Is that Jubilee?
No, I didn't see Jubilee this year. I tried to get it, but it wasn't there. Open it up.
That's really good.
Let Britain open it up.
What? How would you describe it?
Okay, wait, let's guess a brewery. Guess a brewery.
I know what that is.
I've had it before. I know this taste.
I know what that one is.
What is it?
Anderson Valley.
Yes.
Yes, that's it.
Really?
Winter solstice.
It's like crazy. It's sweet. I like it. It's sweet. It's caramelly. It's smooth.
It's funny because Britain.
Good call, Andy.
Britain never liked any hoppy beers in the last, couple years, but she's starting to enjoy like sweeter hoppy beers.
That's a pretty sweet beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I polish off a six pack of those, no problem.
So let's move on. We have one canned beer here.
And we have one bottle that we haven't identified.
So we have two left. Go with the can. Or go with the bottle first.
So this one, I've had some. Jeff's had some. It has kind of a lager taste to it. I think it's Sam Adams Winter Lager.
Whose beer is this? This is Andy's?
It was just one of the extras.
I think that's a good guess, too, because it tastes a little bit more mainstream. Not as much spice.
What does mainstream taste like?
It just, I don't know. It doesn't have
mediocrity.
Yeah.
Is that what it tastes like?
I think Sam Adams is a good guess.
Open it up. In the mic, please.
Nice.
Yep.
Yep. It had a, that it had a lager taste to it for sure.
Sam Adams Winter Lager. Winter good lager. Job.
All right, so we got a canned beer. I don't know of any canned beers that are winter ales, so here we go.
Bud Light Limerita.
I know what this one is. I'm interested to taste it though.
Smells good. It's very flavorful.
What kind of flavor does it have?
Does it have a mainstream flavor?
No.
Vomit has a flavor, you know.
Cinnamon? No, not cinnamon. Something like that.
It's a little cinnamon burn with a little nutmeg, maybe?
Nutmeg.
Yeah, that's but like, but with about. Cinnamon. I think there's some cinnamon there.
Oh, boy. It tastes that, like a gingerbread.
Gingerbread.
Yeah. Cake. Something.
It smells like gingerbread, too.
I have no idea what it is.
Okay, so.
Whoa, crazy nutmeg.
We went to 3 breweries in L.A.
Wow.
I know.
This is from one of them.
This is from one of them?
Yep. Now the can probably gives it away.
Angel City. Then I would
say Golden Road.
Are they the one that do cans?
Golden Road only does canned beer.
I think you got it.
But they did not have this when we were there.
Open that up. Let's see what it is.
If this is a Golden Road, this is the best Golden Road beer I've
had. I agree completely.
Golden Road.
That makes it all the more funny that I said mediocrity.
Back Home Gingerbread Stout. 8.5%.
Total gingerbread.
This is solid. This is the best Golden Road beer I've had. Without a doubt.
I agree. It's very... If you want a Christmas beer, this has... It's just dripping with Christmas.
So these come in the pounder cans, and that's just a little bit too much of that flavor for me. I, you know, maybe a 12-ouncer would be fine, but that's just a lot of that kind of beer. It's something that it's good. You know, I'd like to have one for the night, but that's just too much.
What about 16 ounces? Could you handle that?
No, that's what I said.
I just had 1 ounce, and I couldn't handle that.
So I'm going to ask you guys, what was your least favorite Christmas ale?
The Bud Light.
Besides that was a joke I threw in there to throw people.
The winter lagers tend to make me not enjoy them much.
I can't wait to go back and listen to people to their description of the Bud Light. I mean, you were onto it pretty quick,
yeah.
But like Jeff gave a description of it that really was like, it's kind of a light lager taste.
No spice?
Yes. No spice at all.
The accumulation was my least favorite.
I was surprised with that one.
I thought I hated it a lot more than I do.
So,
because I despise New Belgium.
Anchor Steam's Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, whatever beer is like my least favorite tonight, which is like the first one I ever had.
Hmm. Well, I'm gonna get a magnum of that to drink it.
We have New a magnum Year's. Of it too. It's very different from the other one. Like what year? It's different from last year's big time.
I didn't get a chance to try.
You
it.
Have to really like the spiciness of Christmas ales.
Yeah, it's a real spicy beer.
It is the most fragrant and spiciest of them all.
Oh, I like that.
But it's way different from last year's.
It's like Santa Claus in your mouth.
Whoa.
I mean, I
can say the Winter Solstice was by far my favorite of them all.
Mine too. Big time.
Least favorite would probably be Anchor Steam or maybe the Winter Hook.
Oh, I didn't try the Winter Hook. I traditionally, I like that beer a lot. I think my least favorite is Sam Adams Winter Lager.
Yeah, I forgot that one. You're right.
That is by far the Winter Lager is my least favorite. Those are the ones that after the winter time is over, there's a nice row in the fridge of Winter Lager that we have to get through somehow.
Yeah, and then when we run out of beer in like June, then we end up drinking those. All right, well, it's time for us to close it down here for our holiday special here. But for all of us at the Beer of the Day podcast, we hope that you have a very happy holiday. And hopefully you have a fridge full of beer to help you get to that point.
To deal with your family.
Yep, that's how it goes.
Happy Hanukkah.
Merry Kwanzaa.
Do they say Merry? Is that how
you go? I don't know. Do they Happy Kwanzaa? Merry Kwanzaa? I don't know.
I think it's just Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa!
I like that.
And Merry Christmas.
Feliz Navidad.
All right. We will see you in the new year for Andy Hamilton, Jeff Miller. What's your name? Joel Miner.
What the fuck's your name again?
Britton Miner. I'm Dallas Hellicker. You've been listening to a special holiday edition of the Beer of the Day podcast. Merry Christmas, everybody. All right, so which of these beers do you think we should drink? Like, what are you grabbing first?
I already poured all the winter solstice into my glass.
I'm taking that, Carl.
I'm going to go with Bud Light next.
Bud Light?
Yep. That's my next.
I'm going to drink more of this because this was the number 4 on my list probably, but this is one I want to drink more.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
Cheers.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.